Bill Lowry, good evening. Good to see each of you out this evening. I trust that our hearts have been encouraged already as we've been worshiping our Lord. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I want to share with you a solemn portion of Scripture that the Lord has laid in my heart. And I trust that as we go through this, that the Lord will speak to us. And it's a challenging word. And a lot of today, I've been into it, and the Lord has really spoken to my heart from it. And I trust that each of us this evening might be challenged afresh as His children, as we look at His Word. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And just before we do, let's ask His blessing on His Word this evening. Father, again, we thank You for this precious time that we've spent together in Your presence, for the hymns that we've been singing, for the prayers that have gone forth. We would add our amens to that which has already been said, that You've been honored and glorified through it all. We remember the sick, Lord, those that have been restored, and we pray that You'd continue to restore the ones whose names have been mentioned tonight. Father, we thank You for these people that are here this evening, these dear ones that have come. And I pray, O God, that as we listen to Your Word this evening, that it might be a renewed challenge in our lives as Your children. Speak to us all, we pray. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to sort of go backwards tonight. I'm not taking it out of context, but I want to read, first of all, the 14th verse, to the 15th verse, and then back to the 10th verse. Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That word constraineth means to compel or to restrain us. When we stop to think about that, when we think of the love of Christ and what it does in our lives, it has a tremendous meaning and a tremendous effect. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That passage of Scripture really struck home to me today. That they that live should not, and those two words, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. And then we go back to the 10th verse of this chapter. And here's the reason why, and it's a solemn passage of Scripture. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Beloved, if you've never thought of it before in a serious way, it's time that we did. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And the apostle goes on to say, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. The Apostle Paul here is not writing to the unbeliever. The words here are for the believer. I believe that this passage of Scripture is a passage of Scripture that says to the believer, there is an important event and appointment that each of us must keep. The most important event to the believer as we meet Jesus Christ face to face. As we meet Jesus Christ face to face. You know, we live in a world where we're always making appointments. We make appointments for just about everything in life. Many times after we made these appointments, we cancel them because of situations and circumstances that come about in our lives. Sometimes we do a rescheduling of them. Sometimes we just forget them altogether. But beloved, tonight, this is an appointment. This is an appearing that every believer must be prepared. And how do we prepare? We are preparing now. We who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior are preparing now for the appearance that we're going to make when we stand face to face with Jesus Christ. What a somber thought. What solemn words this evening. Words that we can't just overlook. I think we overlook it too often in our lives as believers. We don't pay sometimes regards to the things that are important. And this is an important event. This is going to be, without a shadow of a doubt, a moment, the moment of truth in the life of every believer in Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a moment that we decide down here, as I've already said. And it's going to be a moment of jubilation. Of jubilation in the lives of many believers. But there's going to be a moment of disappointment as well in the lives of many believers. And we decide what it will be for our own personal lives. You don't decide for anybody else but yourself. I don't decide for anybody but myself. We are personally going to decide for that moment when we stand and look in the face of Jesus Christ as to what He's going to say to you and I. As to the words we will hear come from the lips of the Savior. We're doing it now. We're doing it now. We're working towards that end. And I will make it absolutely clear that we are not saved by works, but by His grace alone. But after we are saved, He gives us a message. Go. Go. And that's where we come into the picture. What are we doing? What are we doing with our lives? The appointment's going to be, as I've already said, on an individual basis. Just everyone going to stand. And beloved, it doesn't have anything to do with the sins that we've been saved from. Not at all. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Our sins have been forgiven us. Our sins have been put into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. But what we are looking at tonight is our lives that we live from the day that we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. From the day that we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the day that we said, yes, Lord, the day that He came into our hearts and our lives and He changed us from what we were to what we are, when He took away our sins, He took away the darkness out of our lives, and He filled our hearts with His glorious light, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shone into our hearts and our lives, and He changed us, and He made us, the Bible says, into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things, not half of the things, all things have become new in our lives. We become sons and daughters of God. What a wonderful experience. What a wonderful experience. I wouldn't change it tonight for anything in the world. Nothing that I know of that has taken place in my life that I would rather know than to know that Jesus Christ came into my heart at an early age and changed my life. And I have a hope that lives within, that goes beyond the realm of this life. Praise God. But he gives us a charge to go and to live a life. To live a life. The Apostle Paul says that we are going to stand and receive the things done in our bodies, whether it be good or bad. Whether it be good or bad, God knows them all. There's a couple of things I want to share with you tonight. I trust I can get it in the time that we have. Perhaps you won't get upset if I go a little over time, but I think it's important to our hearts and lives tonight. I want us to look at three specific and important areas in our lives that I think and that God has laid on my heart today is very essential as believers. Number one, we must stand before the one who saved us. We must stand before the one who saved us. And only the believers, not the unbelievers. The unbelievers are going to come and they're going to stand at the great white throne judgment 1,000 years later. But it is going to be the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to stand. And you know when that's going to take place? It's going to take place when the rapture comes, when the church of God is taken out. And at that moment in time, we're going to go face to face with Jesus Christ. Face to face with Him. We're going to look in His face. And oh, my heart was blessed today as I allow these thoughts to go through my mind. What a wonderful time that's going to be to look in His face. But it's going to be a challenging time as well as we look in His face. Because He's going to be our judge. We're going to be looking at the judge of all the earth. And it's not going to be God. It's going to be Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that God has given to His Son the opportunity to judge. And He's going to be our judge. We're going to look in the face of the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. We're going to look in the face of the one who had that crown of thorns upon His brow and the blood ran trickling down His face. We're going to look upon the face of the one who walked all the way to Calvary and fell beneath the load of that old rugged cross, the purpose being was because He loved me, and because He loved you, and because He loved mankind everywhere, He was willing to do it. He was willing to die. Love like this was never known. Never. We're going to look into the face of the one that hung on that cross. And in those dark hours when God blotted out from the entire world the agony that was in the face of His Son as He poured my sin and your sin upon Him. And He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Shouldn't we love Him? Shouldn't we serve Him? Shouldn't we want to tell others about Him? Shouldn't we want to live our lives as we go each day and let the experience of our hearts flow that others may see Jesus Christ living in us and want more of Him? Oh, yes, beloved, we should. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why we're going to stand before Him. That's why we're going to stand before Him. We're going to give to Him an account. We might say, well, is God going to know everything? Has God seen everything I've done? Has He heard everything I've done? I've said? Has He seen every place I've been? That's impossible. Beloved, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. We're living in a computerized world today. You go to your computer systems. If you have one, you sit down, you punch in a word, and up comes all sorts of information, page after page after page after page for just one word. If man's minds are brilliant enough to put such stuff there, what about God? I don't think that we should for one moment ever think that God doesn't know what's going on about our lives. He knows every iota. Every little intricate detail of the life that I live, of the life that you live, for Him in this world. That's why it's important that we remember this. That's why it's important every day that we live, that we keep first and foremost in our minds, I'm going to look in His face. I'm going to hear him challenge me. And I don't know what the words might be. It might be, what have you done for me? Or it might be, what have you not done for me? I don't know. But we're going to stand and we're going to look in his face. And it could happen at any moment. At any moment, the church can be ushered into eternity. We're living in those days. And beloved, our hearts should be prepared and ready. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're going to heaven. But beloved, the challenge is tonight is that we're going to look in the face of Jesus Christ. What will my answer be? Oh, that challenged my heart. What will my answer be? What will your answer be when we look in his face and our lives are challenged? Oh, beloved, I pray tonight that our answer will be from him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But not everyone's going to hear that word, well done. We read the scriptures. We need to understand what thus saith the Lord. We must ever keep this before us, always. Secondly, we find that we must stand before the one who knows all about us. I've touched on that already briefly. In John 10:27, the Lord Jesus says, I know my sheep. In other words, there's not one that he doesn't know. Intimately and every detail, I know my sheep. Nothing is hidden from him. We will not be able to, as we Bahamians like to say, beat around the bush. There'll be no beating around the bush when we stand face to face with Jesus Christ. It's going to be yes or no. It's going to be already done, whatever you and I have done. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, no matter where we go. He's there. Everywhere. And we need to remember this. We need to remember this. He's there. We carry him within our hearts. The Holy Spirit lives in the life of every believer. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we have him with us. And we need to be mindful of this in our life. And we need to be mindful that one day we're going to give an account of what we've done while we had him with us. Oh, beloved, it's so important. He knows what occupies our minds. He knows what occupies our very thoughts. He knows what we prefer to read. He knows whether we neglect reading his word. He knows if we neglect to pray. He knows how we give of our time, how we give of our talents. He knows how much you and I are committed to doing something for him. And he also knows the lack of commitment we have made in our lives to him and for him. All of this will be there. All of this will be there. We will stand. Beloved, as I mentioned when I began this service, this is really something that we need to think about more than we do. We need to be very serious about this. Yes, we can say that we love the Lord. We can sing about the Lord. We can come to service. But that's not all of it. That's not all of it. The important part of it is the life that we live every day. The life that we live every day. People are watching us. They look at our lives. They want to see how much Jesus Christ means to us. And this is what he wants us to do. This is how he wants us to live. He wants us to let our lives and our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify me. No way. Glorify our Father which is in heaven. Because he alone is worthy of our praise and nobody else. He alone. And beloved, that's the way that you and I need to live our lives before him. We need to seriously think about making some adjustments in our lives sometimes. We need to think about and consider some of the things that we do and the way that we live and the priorities that we have in our lives. And beloved, I see a world today in which we live that there are many, many believers whose priorities are in all of the wrong places. When you read the Word of God and we see what God says for you and I as His children to do and the way He wants us to live our lives, our priorities aren't there. They're in the wrong places. And these are the things, whether we want to hear it or not, that we're going to face when we look in the face of Jesus Christ. These are the things that are going to come back, like we always say, to haunt us. But then it will have been too late. What we would have done would have already been done. What we would have said would have already been said. The neglect in our lives would have already been passed, over. No more changes. Nothing we can do. It's all in His hands. And what did Paul say? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. He's going to judge us. He is going to be our judge. Yes, He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we're going to rejoice when we get to heaven, but we have to face Him too. We've got to go through this process first. First. And Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And beloved, in the 14th verse that I read, we should not have to persuade men that know Christ is His Savior to love Him. We should not have to be persuaded to live for Him. We should not have to be persuaded to make a commitment in our lives to Him. We should not have to be persuaded to do something in His service or to help others or to live our lives for Him. We shouldn't have to be persuaded. That should be automatic in our lives. When Jesus Christ comes in and changes our lives, we're supposed to be a happy people. And love the Lord. And let our light shine wherever we go. Now, I wouldn't be hypocritical and stand here tonight and tell you that there aren't times in our lives that we won't be discouraged. They come. I won't say that there aren't times in our lives when things may go wrong and we say things we shouldn't say. Satan is there. But I want to say this, that for every one of those times, our God is with us and He is willing and ready to forgive us. And we need to remember that. Remember that He loves us. And He wants us to love Him. He wants us to serve Him. How much are we serving Him? How much do we really love Him tonight? That's the question that I ask myself. How much do I love You, Lord? How much do I really appreciate what You did for me? The hope that I have in my heart that should I stop breathing now, that I will be in Your presence, that I will live with You forever, that I will live in a land that is fairer than day, where there is no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no heartaches, no disappointments, where there will be no more night, for all is light, for God's glorious light is there. That's where we want to go. That's what He has done for us. That's why we should be a happy, working, serving, rejoicing people. We got a reason. We got a reason. But it is up to us. It is up to me. It's up to you individually. The desires of our hearts. How much we want to do. How important is it to me tonight, to you tonight, to stand before Him someday and to look in His face and see a smile that breaks out on His face as He says to you, to me, my child, well done. Welcome home. How sad it will be to stand and look in His face, and the Scripture says, to be ashamed at His coming. To be ashamed of the things that we've neglected. To be ashamed of the lives that we've lived when He's done so much for us. I pray to God that not one of us may be ashamed at His coming. That not one of us will stand before Him and hear Him remind us of the neglect of our lives and of our service for Him. He has given to every one that He has called something to do. Something to do. Yours might be to stand at that door and greet people as they come in. Yours might be to stand as I'm standing. Yours might be to sing in the choir. Yours might be to teach a Sunday school class. Yours might be to get out there and direct the traffic as it's coming into church. Whatever it is, He's given you something to do for Him. And we do it willingly. Not grudgingly, but with a heart that loves the Lord. With a heart that loves people, that wants to see, as one of our brothers mentioned in prayer tonight, our loved ones brought to the fold, saved. We need to remember that outside of the fold, we've got loved ones. All of us have family members, friends, and neighbors that are on their way to hell without Jesus Christ. And our heart should be burdened. Our heart should be burdened. And we should be in prayer. We should be doing what we need to do, what God has asked us to do, to be an example. An example, a light. That they too one day might join this holy band and on to glory go. That when we get home in heaven, when we look around, we'll see our loved ones there. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. But it can't happen up there. It's got to happen down here. It's got to happen down here. Our hearts have to be challenged each day as to what we're going to do for the Lord. Because He asks, and then I close, He has commissioned us. In 2 Corinthians, I don't have the time to read all of this. Chapter 5, verses 18 through verse 20. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? One that carries forth the message of his country. We're ambassadors for the Bahamas wherever we go. We're not ashamed to tell people, I'm from the Bahamas, it's my home. It's a land of sunshine and sand and beautiful waters. Come and join us. Beloved, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you and I are ambassadors for Him, and we should be saying to the world, heaven is going to be our home someday. It's a land of sunshine. It's a land of pure water. It is a land where God lives, and we're going to live with Him. That should be our ambassadorship role for Jesus Christ. We're also told not only to be ambassadors, but to be witnesses. We are to be His light. And the challenge to my heart today was this, and I trust it is to your heart tonight as I close. Am I living up to His expectations of my life? Am I living up to His expectations of my life? And I pray to God that by His grace I am. And I pray to God that by His grace you are. And that the desires of our hearts will be each day that we live, for each moment that we see the sun rise, and He gives us strength to go on to tell the wonderful story of love. Over and over and over again. I'll tell you something. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. What a wonderful day it's going to be. We sing that beautiful old hymn. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. But I think it's not going to be all that great. It's going to be wonderful to get to heaven. But, beloved, there's going to be rewards given out. Rewards. There's going to be crowns given out. How many crowns are you going to get? How many crowns am I going to get? What reward am I going to get? What reward are you going to get? We're working for our rewards down here. And thank God, Jesus Christ is the judge of it all. And He will give us according to what we have done. He will give us according to the life that we have lived. I pray this evening, my beloved, that you and I might live our lives according. Because He's coming. The Bible tells us in Revelation 22, verse 12, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. Let's not forget that. He's going to come quickly. In Matthew chapter 24, He says, In such an hour as you think not. And beloved, as His children, we need to live every moment of our lives thinking that this could be the day, this could be the hour. He says, when you think not, I'm going to come. Oh, I pray tonight that our hearts have been challenged, that we might leave this place with a renewed and a fresh vigor to go out and serve the Lord. Don't worry about what people may say. You do what God says. Follow His word. Live your life. You're going to look in His face someday, and it could be sooner than we think. May God bless and challenge our hearts tonight for His name's sake. Amen. Father, I thank You tonight for this precious word. We know that it is Your word. It's not a myth. It's not a fable. It's not a story that we can just reject. But it is Your word spoken by You. Father, may we heed the word. May we do according to that which You've given us. Seek to live our lives accordingly, and one day look in Your smiling face and hear You say, welcome home, my child. Bless each of us here this evening, Lord. May we leave this place encouraged to serve You, to live for You, to love You, to let our light shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if we can sing just the first verse and chorus. And the service will be over. Again, my apologies for going a little over time, but I trust that your heart has been challenged this evening as mine has been today. Number 421, as we stand and sing, just the first verse in the chorus, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. 421. First verse and chorus.